אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. Prime Minister Netanyahu, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and War Cabinet Member Benny Gantz addressed the nation last night, promising that this war would both bring an end to Hamas's presence in Gaza and bring home the hostages in captivity there. Netanyahu stressed that Israel's war was not just for the security of her citizens, but as a benefit to the entire world. It is a battle to uphold Western civilization. It was the first time that the Prime Minister had taken questions from reporters since the October 7th attack. Most of the questions focused on his responsibility for the security and intelligence failures that led to the invasion by Hamas and massacre of civilians. He failed to answer directly to many of the questions. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said earlier yesterday that Israel has moved to a new phase in the war against Hamas, after ground forces pushed into Gaza and the military bombarded terror targets in the strip on Friday night. "The earth in Gaza shook," Gallant stated in a statement from his office. "We attacked from above ground and below ground. We attacked terror operatives of all ranks and all places. The commands to the forces are clear. The operation will continue until a new order." IDF spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said the military is advancing through the stages of the war in Gaza, with ground forces carrying out operations in the strip. He described the raid as an expanded ground activity rather than a full ground offensive. During the operation, there were a number of clashes between troops and Hamas terrorists without Israeli casualties. Several Hamas members were killed in the raid and Hamas infrastructure destroyed. The IDF infantry, combat engineering forces and tanks still remain inside the Gaza Strip as ground operations continue. The Air Force continued its bombardment of Hamas targets and, overnight on Friday, struck 150 underground sites. Two Hamas commanders, including the commander of Hamas's naval forces of the Gaza City Brigade, Rateb Abu Saiban, were killed. Hagari said their elimination brings good progress in the stages of the war and helps the forces fight a weaker enemy. Gazan internet and phone services collapsed amid the Israeli bombardment. The IDF yesterday warned residents of Gaza City that the area is now a battlefield. It dropped leaflets saying to the residents of the Gaza Strip, "The Gaza Governorate, that's Gaza City, has become a battlefield. Shelters in northern Gaza and the Gaza Governorate are not safe," and it urged residents to evacuate immediately to the south. The IDF yesterday released footage of the interrogation of Hamas terrorists who participated in the October 7th massacre, where they confirmed the terror group has a hideout under Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. On Friday, IDF spokesman Hagari accused Hamas of having its main base of operations under the hospital, the largest in the Gaza Strip. He said Hamas has hundreds of thousands of gallons of fuel for vehicles and rockets, caches of ammunition, explosives, and material to make more, and stockpiles of food, water, and medicine. The New York Times reported yesterday that Hamas has enough supplies for the terror group to keep fighting for 3 to 4 months without need for resupply. Throughout the week, Hamas continued to bombard Israel with long-range and shorter-range rockets, sending residents of most of the major population centers into shelters, where possible, or stairwells, if necessary, as is the case in older communities. The furthest target was Haifa, with projectiles falling near the Carmel Beach area on Wednesday. On Tuesday, a rocket fell in the West Bank settlement of Alfei Menashe, northeast of Tel Aviv, damaging a synagogue. On Thursday, a rocket crashed into a block of flats in Rishon LeZion, where 3 people were treated for minor injuries. Significant damage was caused to the home hit by the rocket, and lives were saved because people followed the civil defense instructions. In Kfar Sikhan, near Petah Tikva, a 13-year-old boy was lightly hurt by shrapnel and a woman in her 20s and a 14-year-old girl were hurt while running for a shelter. Yesterday, a rocket hit a home in the southern city of Beersheva, causing damage but no injuries. Last night, a Suta hospital in Ashdod announced the death of a 9-year-old girl who suffered cardiac arrest last week when an incoming rocket siren was activated in her city. The north has also come under attack from Hezbollah throughout the week, and the IDF has responded with several attacks on rocket launching sites in Lebanon. Mortars fired from Lebanon have injured 3 civilians and caused 1 IDF death and several minor injuries. A house in Kiryat Shmona was directly hit. Amid the IDF's expanded operations in the Gaza Strip, which began on Friday night, the families of the 229 confirmed hostages held in the Strip issued an urgent plea for a meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu, Defence Minister Yoav Gallant, and other members of the War Cabinet. They sent a message saying this night was the worst of all nights. It was an unending night against the background of the IDF's major operation in the Gaza Strip and complete uncertainty regarding the fate of the abductees who are being held there and are also subject to the heavy bombardment. It went on to say the families are anxious for the fate of their loved ones and are waiting for an explanation. Every minute that passes feels like an eternity. Hamas spokesman Abu Obeida has demanded that Israel release all Palestinian security prisoners in return for the Israeli hostages it's holding. After the meeting with the Prime Minister, the families continue to demonstrate in Tel Aviv, stating that they stand united to demand that their loved one's safety needs to be the first priority in the war in Gaza. 4 hostages have been released so far. Overnight on Monday, Nurit Cooper, aged 79, and Yocheved Lifshitz, 85, from kibbutz near Oz were released. Their husbands remain in Hamas captivity. 180 of the kibbutz's 400 residents were killed or abducted on October 7th. Qatar is credited with acting as an intermediary for the release of hostages, but during the week there were opposing messages from leading political figures about the Gulf state's role. Tzachi Hanegbi, the head of Israel's National Security Council, tweeted on Tuesday that he's pleased to say that Qatar is becoming an essential party and stakeholder in the facilitation of humanitarian solutions. Former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett expressed anger over the comments, posting, "The government of Israel is making a grave moral and practical mistake. Qatar is not a crucial partner for humanitarian and diplomatic activities. Qatar is the enemy itself." On the other hand, there's unanimity regarding Turkey, which has supported Hamas since the massacre on October 7th. Foreign Minister Eli Cohen said on Friday that Israel is re-evaluating its relationship with Turkey. After UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres' remarks on Monday that Israel was partly responsible for the Hamas attack, Israel stopped issuing visas to UN officials. The chairman of Yad Vashem accused Guterres of having failed the test of the refrain, "Never again." While many countries, including Australia, have evacuated nationals living or visiting here since the Hamas invasion, more than 200,000 Israelis have returned to Israel since October 7, many volunteering to serve in the army reserves. And nearly 250,000 Israelis have been displaced internally due to the war, and 360,000 reservists have been called up. The economy, particularly the dairy industry and other agriculture based in the south, is under enormous stress. Volunteers from all sectors of society are providing accommodation and support, both material and psychological, to evacuees. They're filling essential services, and some have entered the war zone to assist in milking cows and harvesting crops in evacuated kibbutzim. This is Peter Jones-Pelach, reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.